Flip in chapter 2 and talk about the mind of Christ. You gotta talk about the mind of Christ. We're talking about mental health, Bible psychology. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. I heard Brother James Knox did a mental health series, I don't know how many years ago, 3 or 4 years ago. And he said something really profound, I thought, that you and I do not have access to a glorified body right now. You don't have access to a glorified body. You don't have access to what that's going to be like. If you trust in Jesus Christ, you trust you'll get one day. But you don't have access to a glorified, holy body right now. In fact, you're told you won't have access to a sinless, holy body until this body is dead or changed. But you do have access to a glorified mind. You have access to a mind that is holy and the mind of Christ. So that's pretty profound thing to think about. You're not going to get the body parts, the health or any of that kind of stuff right now, but you do have access to the mind of Christ. And so in Philippians chapter 2, you know, when people say, I don't know if they say it anymore, but used to say things like, give you a piece of my mind or something, and they tell you something. And well, the Lord gives you his mind in black words on white paper. He tells you what he thinks. And that is the mind of Christ. I think you think about the mind of Christ, it's not an osmosis thing. It's not a, you know, zap fry thing where you just get zapped with it. It's available in the words of God. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded. He says mind so many times in these few verses. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What a great set of verses there. But in these verses, you have literally the mind of Christ. This is how Jesus Christ, we'll put it this way, this is how God in the flesh, this was his psychology, this was his mentality. So let's pray. I'm going to give you three things tonight about the mind of Christ, because the Lord gives you his mind and he wants you to be applying his thoughts. So let's pray. Father, thank you so much for these words that you've given us. Thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. Thank you for giving us your thoughts and your will, your desire, the future, the hope, all those things. I know there's several folks out. I pray you give them safety as they're traveling, those that are still working. Pray you get them home safe and get the jobs done that they're working on, and then those that are sick, that you'd heal up their bodies, and those that are watching, I pray you bless each soul that's here, and those that are watching and maybe will be watching the next few days. But I pray this is a blessing. I pray it's a help to everybody that hears it, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So the mind of Christ. You see in the first four or so verses of Philippians chapter 2, it basically describes the lowliness of mind, the humbleness of mind, the esteeming others better than yourselves, and just over and over mentions the mind. And then goes through, and there's verses 6 through, I don't know, 8, describe all of the steps down that God as the Son took and humbled himself, made himself of no reputation, became a servant, became a man, humbled himself to the death on the cross, all those things. And so in all of that, what you find out is, along with that statement, you don't have access to a glorified body, but you have access to a glorified mind. What you find out is a glorified mind is not a high mind, it's a very lowly mind. It's a mind that is humble. It's a mind that is in service. It's a mind that is subject to other people. It's a mind that is, I say subject, but esteems others better than themselves. And so the irony of the glorified mind, of Jesus Christ's mind, the irony of it is it's a low mind. It's a lowly mind. It's a meek mind. And you see all those steps that Jesus Christ took. I mean, everything he did is stepping out of glory and doing what he did, and then even to the death of the cross. He put himself in the pit with humanity and loved people and risked being hurt in loving people. I think about it in Isaiah chapter 53, the Bible says in prophesying about Jesus Christ, he is a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and just describing the situation and the position that Jesus Christ put himself, and all of that done because his mentality, his thought processes, his psychology, and maybe that's a weird word to apply to God, that God has a psychology or a mentality, but he does. And this was it. This is it. When God was manifest in the flesh, he made himself of no reputation. He took on himself the form of a servant. He's made in the likeness of men and humbled himself, became obedient unto death. I mean, can you imagine Jesus Christ as a child and growing up and becoming a teenager? And, you know, the Bible says, for instance, children obey your parents. And the God that said that became a child. So you know he did what he said he told others to do. And you know there was times when Mary and Joseph said things that Jesus knew probably weren't the best ideas, but he just obeyed mom and dad. And so it's the paradox, I guess, of a glorified mind is not that it's high and mighty and lifted up. The paradox is that it's lowly and humble and meek and in service. And so you read about it over in Colossians. He talks about humbleness of mind. And it's just an incredible... you would do... I don't know the statistics, and I don't know how to get statistics on this. But just by virtue of living and observing and my own life and reading the Bible, probably a lot of our issues come from we just think about ourselves a whole lot, and we just kind of put ourselves at the center of everything, and we're right, everyone else is wrong, or you know, we're the standard, and you got to fall in line, or me, my, how am I getting out of this? What am I getting out of this? And so I understand there's a balance. You can wear yourself out doing that. I mean, you can wear yourself out serving people too, but probably most of people's problems is they just think about themselves an awful lot. And Jesus Christ, that's not the mentality of God Almighty. That's not the mentality of Jesus Christ. And here's the mind of Christ. It's a glorified mind that you have access to. You don't have access to the body, but you got access to the mind. And as long as you can read words or hear these words taught or apply these words, you have access to the mind of Christ. And I want you to think of it that way, because the mind of Christ is located in the Bible. It's not located in you, it's located in the Bible. And when you get saved, it's not that God just supernaturally implants the mind of Christ. You have access to the mind of Christ, but you don't get the mind of Christ implanted in your brain. You have access to it. So, again, the paradox and the irony of it is in this mind of Christ, this glorified mind, is it's a lowly mind, a meek mind, an unselfish mind. Second thing is, verse 5, it is your job, my job, to let this mind be in you. I mean, he says it there in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So that means, obviously, you don't have to let it be in you. It doesn't have to exist in you. You're going to have to let it be there. To turn a sinner into a servant of God, the mind has to be corrected. It has to be corrected. And more so for that servant, if you're going to serve God faithfully and stay in the race to the end of your life, your thinking has to be corrected. My thinking has to be corrected. He calls it the renewing of your mind. And there's some pretty awful things that are said about the mind over there in Ephesians, and about Gentiles and about the heathen and about the vain mind. And it's just a dark mind. And that mind has to be renewed. He says over there in Romans 12, verse 2, you know the verse. He says, and be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the, what? Renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the mind has to be corrected. It's got to be corrected. And that's not a process that is, that's not a process of osmosis. That's not a process of implantation. That's something you have to, as a person, as a soul, as a human being, subject yourself to. You have to allow God to think for you. You have to let Him think for you, and stop letting the world think for you. Stop trying to come up with your own ideas and all that kind of thing. I mean, when it comes to certain things, direction and decisions in life and things like that, and love and I mean, all the situations of life, let the Lord do your thinking. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let it be in you. Think like God thinks, and the way you do that is you get His thoughts and you live by those thoughts. Let this mind be in you. Be not conformed to this world. Quit letting the world think for you. Quit letting the world think for you. 1 Corinthians, he says this, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. Here's where you see the mind of Christ. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. 1 Corinthians 2, 16, and then I'll show you one in 1 Peter. So the glorified mind is a meek mind, an unselfish mind, a sacrificial mind. Secondly, that mind has to be applied. It has to be lived by. You have to subject yourself to it. You have to let someone else, let the Lord do your thinking. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, here's the mind of Christ. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. That's what you just read in Philippians 2. You just read the mind of Christ. Say, so can people read thoughts? Yeah, they're in black words on white paper. Those are the thoughts. These are his thoughts. Here's a good one. This is a good one. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, let me, before we mention what we're going to talk about in 1 Peter 4 real quick, it's possible, it is entirely possible, just like you can break an arm or break a leg, people's brains can be broken. I mean, they can break down. And let me just say, I mean, as we get older, they do break down. That doesn't mean, when I say you have access to the mind of Christ, that doesn't mean you're going to be sane all your life. It doesn't mean you're going to never experience deterioration of the brain. It doesn't mean any of that. It just means you have access to the mind of Christ because he's written down his thoughts for you. He's given you his mind. And he said, here's my mind. Now let this mind be in you. As much as you can do that. You may find yourself one day, and I may find myself one day in a hospital bed somewhere, and I can't use my brain anymore. Well, when I say things like you have access to the mind of Christ and things like that, that doesn't mean you're not going to suffer deterioration of the brain, stuff like that. Stuff happens. So don't I'm just trying to be very specific on what we're talking about here. The mind of Christ is located in the words of God. You have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Here's another good one. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. So what does that sound like? That sounds like you're going to have to do battle, and in order to do battle, you have to have the right mindset to go to battle. And the way you do that is you arm yourself with the mind of Christ. Well, what did Christ do? As much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, well, just like Philippians chapter 2 said, he became a man, he served, he was humble unto death and obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. 1 Peter says the same thing. As much as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. So the way Peter says it, if you're not equipped with that mindset, then when the world hits back, when the flesh hits back, when the devil hits back, he's going to win, the world's going to win, the flesh is going to win, because the mind's not right. It's not prepared for battle. It's not prepared for what's about to happen. It's not prepared for the sacrifice that needs to be made. It's not prepared for the cost that this discipleship is going to cost. So and these are things you have to allow. You have to let this mind be in you. You have to arm yourself with this mind. Prepare for battle with the world, the flesh, the devil. And it's either going to be by pressure or by pleasure. I mean, the world will either pressure you into something or will pleasure you into something. I mean, it's one of the two. It'll either enforce itself on you, it will pressure, there'll be so many voices against serving God, or it will entice and it will pleasure you away from serving. I mean, it's just, it's the way the world works. And you have to be armed with the mind of Christ. So allow the Lord Jesus Christ. What's the point? Allow the Lord Jesus Christ to do your thinking. He put his thoughts here so you could borrow his mind. And he says, now let this mind be in you. Arm yourself with it. In fact, you have to arm yourself with it, or you won't have the right mindset to do battle. And with those things said, you got the glorified mind, which is a paradox in that it's lowly and humble. And then that glorified mind has to be applied. You have to allow, you have to let this mind be in you. But what was the end of that whole in Philippians? There was something at the end of that. And he said, Philippians chapter 2, I'll read it to you again. Verse 8, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, because he did this, because this was his life, because Jesus Christ lived this way, because he sacrificed this way, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So there is an ultimate benefit to thinking this way. In Jesus Christ's life, of course, he's sinless. The Bible says God hath highly exalted him. Of course he did. But that doesn't mean he's the only one that's going to benefit from this mindset, from thinking the way he thought. I think you're in 1 Peter still. If you are, go to chapter 1. It's the mentality of Jesus Christ that leads to the exaltation of Jesus Christ. It's his psychology. It's his mental preparation for battle, for life, for the will of God. He is mentally prepared to do it. And he does it. And he succeeds. Dies on the cross, resurrects from the dead. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him. And now let's look at this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. There's going to be a reward there, and that doesn't say a whole lot about it, but I'll tell you what, there's a earlier in this chapter, let me show you one in earlier in this chapter, verse 3 of the same chapter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. There you go. There's a reward at the end of that. One more time. You're in 1 Peter, look at chapter 5. You prepare to go to war, you get the mindset to do battle, and when I say mindset to do battle, it's not that you need to be aggressive or mean or have a bad spirit about you. It's just a mentality of endurance. It's a mentality of pushing through. It's a mentality of expectations that I expect these things to happen. I expect this to happen. I know these things happen in life. I'm not caught off guard by these things. And so when I say when I say armed or use the battle analogy, it doesn't necessarily mean you got to be, I don't know, you don't have to be a jerk, I guess. 1 Peter 5, verse 1, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. That just keeps showing up every time. Of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. You know why he mentions that? It's because the elders, the pastors, and I understand that's kind of what he's talking to there. But the point is that the mind was prepared, it was right, and it served God, and there is a reward. Once the battle is won, once the victory is done, the battle's over, all that kind of stuff. The whole point of fighting the battle is to get the victory, to get the reward at the end. And so there is a reward to it. I mentioned that there is a reward to all this. So it's not just, hey, you need to let this mind be in you for no reason. It's let this mind be in you so you don't get overcome by the world. And in fact, if you do let this mind be in you and you arm yourself with the mind of Christ, there is a reward at the end of all this. So what does he say in Galatians? Be not weary in well-doing, things like that. It's a mental endurance. It's a mental preparation of expectation of pacing yourself and not being, I don't want to say not being surprised, but you're just, it's not going to throw you off course. Things aren't going to throw you off. You're going to get the sufferings, the things like that keep showing up in Philippians and Peter that he keeps mentioning. It's just, you know what? This kind of comes with the territory. It's just the way it kind of goes. So the glorified mind, the mind of Christ, a lowly mind, a humble mind. And you know, going back to the battle sort of analogy, you hear it in movies, I'm sure, and I'm sure they say it when the gunfire's going, they say, keep your head down, you know, keep your head down. Well, that's lowly. That's the guy that puts his head up. The proud guy sticks his head up and nose out and all that kind of stuff. That's the guy that gets his head taken off. Keep your head down, lowly. That's the glorified mind. Keep your head down. A meek mind, humble. Second point is allow it. You have to let this mind be in you. It's here in the words of God. And you don't get it when you get saved. It just gets zapped into you. It doesn't get implanted into you. You have access to it. You have access to the mind of Christ. And then if you'll let this mind be in you, if you'll arm yourself with this mind, there is a reward at the end of all this. There's a reward. I think you understand that. There's a reward at the end of this. Just like Jesus Christ at the end of Philippians chapter 2, he says, wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Why? Because this is the way he thought. This is the way he thought. And he armed himself, and he was prepared, and he was mentally prepared. And he had to be. But that is the mind of Christ. Just a quick little few thoughts there, but it's simple enough. It's something we got to get a hold of, something we got to think about and apply to our own lives. And it'll be good when we do. It'll be good when we do. Father, thank you so much for these words. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for each soul that's here and those that are watching. I pray it's been a blessing. I pray you'd help us arm ourselves with the mind of Christ, be charitable along with the mind of Christ. Jesus Christ was gracious and good and caring. I pray you'd help us be all those things, along with being mentally prepared for battle. And help us be mentally tough. And because we are using your mind, we're borrowing your mind. And I pray you'd help us renew our own minds, like you said in Romans and in Ephesians, renew your mind. Thank you again for salvation in Jesus Christ. Thank you for everybody that's here. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.